You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to my couch, as you always are, now at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time and or wherever you're at around the world. Welcome to the couch. We're going to have an amazing guest today, and you're going to learn a lot. You're going to feel better. In 50 minutes, you're going to feel better now because we're going to be talking about sort of how to wake up, how to feel more connected to life. I mean, all of us are feeling sort of the pressure, right? Are you feeling sort of disconnected and drained? So many people we talk to, and I'm not just talking about patients who I talk with, but everybody I talk with. I mean, we're all connected to the world, the internet, we've got it all. And many of my scientist friends, who are more quantum physicists than anything, are telling me about how we're all connected to the photonic field, or however you want to call it, whether it's the quantum consciousness, the higher power, universal love, God, whatever you choose to name it, we are all powerful and we are all electromagnetic connected. So therefore, we're feeling everyone else in the world, and we're watching it on the news, and we're reading it, and we're talking about it, and we're all sort of suffering a little bit inside. We're all sort of dying every day. I hate to say that word, but I mean, it is what it is. We have to wake up. And today, my guest is going to help us discover how we can wake up and go from feeling disconnected and drained to energized and impassioned. And welcome, Temple Hayes. Hi.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you today. Absolutely.
Aww. Thank you so much for writing this book and being who you are. Here you go, folks. I'm going to be, you know, showing this book off and on because you really need to pick it up, folks. I love it. And it's really going to help you sort of get more energized and connect yourself. And this is not a religious book, folks. Let me just start off by saying It's a spiritual book. And, if okay, I could just sort of do your bio. It's very long, so we could take the whole.
Yeah, let's do the shortest version
possible. We'll do the quick and dirty here.
Well, we don't want to put people to sleep. Okay?
Yeah, you're so funny. No. Well, you spent over 13 years as a motivational speaker all across the United States and abroad for a variety of clients. And I'll just sort of name Procter & Gamble, Washington Mutual, State Farm Insurance. You are a much sought after and gifted public speaker who supports causes that touch the human heart. And you also so much improve people's lives, raise the consciousness of the world. I can't believe, Temple, well, I can believe, what am I saying? I just sort of a paraphrase there, but you are a twice featured speaker at Carnegie Hall for suicide prevention and awareness. Mm-hmm. That and the Never Alone movement. Oh my gosh, I love that.
Thank you. How cool.
You're also in a movie. You're an acting role, girl. In the spiritual leader, as a spiritual leader in the movie, I'm Never Alone. Did you guys see that movie? It came out in 2020.
As you're talking, it makes me realize that I really want to do this bio entirely different, because it's like I really ought to have 36 years of sobriety. Now that's a bio worthy, right? I'm like, that's worthy of of the story, right?
Yes. Temple, it's all worthy. You're all worthy. But so anyway, to make a long story short, you've served as a global spiritual leader. The New Thought Communities is what you're really connected with, and that transcend religious denominations and embrace all ethnicities and reach beyond national borders, as well as on the leadership team of the Association of Global New Thought. Now, you've got to check out her books. We're talking today about, when did you die? Come on, guys, let's wake up. We're going to wake up today. In 50 minutes, you're going to feel so awake and so empowered. We'll also give you her website where you can check out her other books, Crappy to Happy. I love that. You know what? Mm-hmm. I feel, right? I feel crappy today to happy. sacred stories of transformational joy. Mayhem to miracles, meditation, and of course on your podcast, The Intentional Spirit, we're going to be talking about that as well. So let's get rocking with why you actually decided to entitle this book. When did you die? I went, what? When I first got the book, I started reading. I get it. So.
Well, it's pretty interesting because for 10 years I studied shamanism. And a shamanic journey is about infinity and wholeness. And I think that what we're saying, yes, Michelle, is that we get really duped in our society, especially in the self-help industry, like we're broken.
Oh, yeah.
And the real awakening to realize, yep, that you've never been broken and you are totally whole. You just got duped, you know. Somebody duped you because you didn't fit into their box or you didn't fit into their life plan or whatever. So I would say the second, first half of my life was about, oh my gosh, I'm so broken. And I'm so sorry, everyone, that I'm broken and causing you such pain and therapy.
Aww.
And the second half of my life is about, I was never broken. I was absolutely just spending too much time being something other than me. So the short of the story, and I'm willing to go long, but to keep it interesting, at 5 years old in a small town in the Carolinas, I laugh and say I was the only metaphysical person there when I was growing up, and probably the only metaphysical person that ever left there in a small town, Anderson, South Carolina. And I was very intuitive. And I had insight. So at 5 years old, I had an insight that I could hear the universe or the divine speaking to me. And, you know, things were different then. I couldn't go on Facebook or a private group or meetup.com and go, are any of you having this happen? And so it was very awkward. And I would go to the Southern Baptists. You know, we spent all our time talking about hell. So we lived in hell and we talked about hell.
You're born a sinner.
You're unworthy and you're all that. And as if my being different wasn't enough, when I was 13 and a half, my family discovered letters and I was having a relationship with a 17-year-old. And so... So many of my family members never looked at me the same. The energy was different. I was an outcast and going to hell. And my grandmother told me I would be in hell. And so energetically, when you have things like that happen, we've all had certain things, your energy dies a little. So in the book, When Did You Die? Eight Steps to Stop Living Every Day and Start to Start Living Every Day and Start Waking Up.
Yes.
It's not about a physical death. We put way so much energy on that. You know, we think we're born one time and we die one time. That's not true.
Sure.
We're always being born in this human suit, this lifetime. And we're always dying, either dying by choice, letting go of things that don't serve us anymore, or we are energetically dying because we are doing improv management or imposter syndrome or being things to make other people comfortable around us. Well, my energy and my get up and go, because I was so disgraced. And it's just, I'm telling the story. There's no blame here. I mean, my goodness, you know, after 30, let everybody stop holding on to everybody and accusing them of they're the reason you are who you are. Give everybody freedom. But that being said, I was a teenager. And so it was a very challenging time. So I rejected myself and I went on to drink for 15 years. That being said, I just happened to run into people that said, you know, be you and, you know, God loves you regardless of who you are. And I started waking up. Book, the interesting thing about the book is one publishing house said the title of the book is going to really affect the book sales. And I said, well, it came to me in a meditation. And that's what I have to do. I have to call it that because it's just, we're talking about energy.
Sure you are. And absolutely.
So my get up and go kind of left me. And I discovered a shaman. There was a very mystical way in which that happened. And I looked at parts of my life where I had really had soul loss, a fragmentation.
So
in working with the shamanic healer, I was able to bring these energies back in my body. It's transformed the way I believe about aging, the way I believe about life. And as you can tell, I have a ton of energy and it's all natural. I'm not on anything except life itself. So that's kind of a quick murr.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that because I mean, it's always really cool to find out, you know, why people are who they are. And, and so when you had these gifts and you heard higher power talking with you and you were very empathic and intuitive, did you share that growing up with your family? Or did you talk about some of these messages or things you were getting? No,
I wrote poetry. I wrote songs and, you know, things of that nature. But no, they have beautiful hearts, but they live in boxes.
Sure. Oh, and, that's really nice. That's
and
nice.
There's a lot of people that live in the box and never question the box. They're in an aquarium. Yeah. They may not even believe what they're a part of, but they it's too uncomfortable for them to question it. And I was one of those children. There's a saying that says when a child is growing up, everything is a question mark. And by the time the child graduates from high school, it's a period.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this in my life, but people told me I'm not going to be able to, period. I used to have big dreams, but people told me I don't have enough money to do it, period. My parents told me I'm not tall enough, so I won't be able to do that, period. And we get so programmed.
Yes, we do.
And we allow other people to program us as far as what is possible. We sure do.
And, and you know, when we get those messages, as you know, of course, Temple, we buy into them because that's all we know. Those are our identity messages that we get. So either, you know, we sort of self-destruct and we do things to numb out, as you talk about. You know, you've been sober for a long time. Yay. Yay, girl. You take care of yourself. And I love your eating habits, by the way. I was reading about how healthy you are at the end. I'm going, oh, I have to do that too. My gosh. Oh, that's right. I got to get rocking more with my kale. But no, anyway, I was really, really impressed by the way you just completely turned your life around and embraced your own gifts.
Thank you.
I mean, in your book, you suggest we should walk into our lives by walking through our lives. So what do you mean by that? I really was intrigued by that idea.
Well, again, we are programmed, by education, by the medical association, by commercials, by advertising, by now, you know, sponsor ads everywhere and anything that we pick up. And if you've become a person that you listen to those kind of things, then your sponge of understanding brings all that in.
Right.
And it's so backwards. Because when we age, aging is natural. Getting old is not natural. We have too many people that buy into that I'm old now.
Yes.
My brother called me one time and said, oh, my leg's hurting. And I go, what's going on? And he goes, well, I'm 40. And I go, well, I'm a lot more age than you. And my leg doesn't hurt. You know, it's just like there's a cute little story of an 87-year-old woman that goes to the doctor and she goes, my right knee's bothering me like heck. And the doctor says, and this is what happens. Well, what do you want me to tell you? Your leg is old. There's really nothing we could do. And she said, that's a bunch of hogwash.
Right.
Because you know, my other leg is the same age and it's never bothered me at all. But yeah, this is the kind of stuff that's going on, right, because it's a trillion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
People are terrified of dying. And so they just buy all these products. But behind all of that, when we walk through our challenges and we walk through our problems, we are misinformed. We are told that, I hope you survive it. I hope you get through it.
Right.
And if there's still any of you left, then do the best you can and have a remote and sit in a recliner. That's not how it really is.
Right.
When you go through tragedy and things are catch you off guard, you have loss, you have all these things. If you're a human being, then you have all those things. When you really walk through them in light and in your shadow, on the other side of it, you're bigger. Energetically, you're bigger. Energetically, you're more dynamic. I mean, you look at Tina Turner, who found shoes in a dumpster. Whether it's people you look at popular, you look at Oprah, and I say these names because they're people we all know.
No, I mean, absolutely.
They went through such tragedy, but they walked into their life by walking through their life, and out of it, they became more energy, more life force, and we all want to break these paradigms. So when I said I'm going into 50, I'm going to have more energy than I ever had. So when I'm interviewed at 60, that's what people are going to say.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And that's what I did. And that's what people say. How do you how do you have so much energy? And I said, because I believe, and I don't live in that energy where people tell me how I'm going to feel and how I'm supposed to be.
Right.
I flew to Florida from Santa Barbara, the area I live. And I hadn't been to Florida in a while, and I was reacting to the humidity.
Oh,
and, my eyes and my nose were running, and I don't take anything, and I pray I never have to, but it was so uncomfortable, Michelle, that I went to the, I broke down because I was so preoccupied with it, and I was there on speaking engagements, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to succumb and get something, you know, on the over the counter. So I asked the pharmacist, I said, I've never taken anything in my whole life and I can't be drugged, you know, hanging out on the side of a mountain. And I said, can you help me? She looked at me and she said, you know, this kind of stuff happens now that you're old.
Ah!
And I thought to myself, you better be glad right now that I am a spiritual leader, or I would go after you.
I love it. I love it. You're so funny.
But it's all around us.
No, it's
Michelle.
True.
I mean,
listen,
we get this all the time. It's ridiculous.
I've been going to physical therapy. I'm a walker, and I live up here in Hippieville in Topanga Canyon in California.
Oh, yeah, I love Topanga
Canyon.
I go that often. Yeah.
So cool. And so I'm walking every morning in the woods and up the hills. And so I sprained my ankle. I'm kind of a crazy person because I you know, like to do that. And so I'm going to physical therapy to help my ankle. and the physical therapists are saying, well, you know, at your age, you're middle age and you shouldn't be walking on such, you should have, you know, and I'm just going, oh, really? Really? You know, it's, you know, well, I guess we're just fighting it. You know, but we're not buying into it. And I think that's what's so funny. I mean, I laughed. I said, yeah, you're right. I should, you know, I didn't want to cause problems. I just, but the way they said, you know, you should not do, and I'm like, what the heck?
I'm a little more outspoken, and I do think people like you and people like me, we're difference makers, and we are making change. And I spoke in Denver not long ago, and I talked about this thing called aging. And I said, with so many things, we raise our bar. Why won't we be willing to raise our bar? I'm going to say I want to live to be 150.
Right.
Why can't I say that?
Yes.
And because it changes you. It changes the number of years you feel like you have ahead. It changes your attitude. It changes the way you take care of your body, because if you're going to have it another 70 or 80 years, you want it to be, you know, looking pretty, pretty decent. But the other thing that fascinates me, and this is also what I talk about with when did you die, is we're so programmed about energy. Energy can be maintained by us. We do not produce it. We do not produce it. And so it's like we don't go on Monday to a store and pick up energy rations and then have to decide how we allocate them during the week. I've been on a plane with people on Monday and they're talking about how tired they're going to be on Friday. And I'm like, how do you, this is back when people talk to each other on the plane, but it's like, how do you know how tired you're going to be? Today's Monday and you're just living in Monday. People equate energy to how much sleep they've had. That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You don't ever see birds just worn out, you know, or creatures of natural creatures just saying, I can't do it anymore. It's so hard being a giraffe. I can't do it. It's so hard. You know, and we have all these programs that we affirm, you know, all the time. I had a little Yorkie dog that he was very aged and he was working his way out of this lifetime. And for 3 months in the middle of the night, he would go in the bathroom and go in circles and cry. For 3 months, I got up every night and held him, and I was working and career and all that. And you know what? Nobody would have ever known. Because every day starts a new day. You're pulling in the energy, and we don't have to buy into all that. And the more we live, the more energy we ought to have. And a lot of you are probably already starting to defend that and say, well, that's a bunch of crap and all that. But I'm living it, and it's true. And
no, it's true. It really
I've been in 7 or 8 car wrecks. I've been to jail twice. My heart's been broken many times as a public person. Well, as a public person, these are the things that happen. And so it's possible.
Yes,
and that's why I wanted to write the book. Because I think that the world needs more people that are not just talking at you, you know, not just, oh, I want to give you these values, but people that have proved it like you have with your own life.
Right. Well, thank you for that. No, the beautifully said it. Thank you. And no, it's really, no, I understand what you're saying. And what I loved also in your book, by the way, here it is. It's really good.
Thank you.
When did you die, folks? No, no, don't let that scare you. 8 steps to stop dying every day and start waking up. You know, feel, especially with the energy going on, temple in our world and all this stuff we're picking up on. But what I loved, I was saying, I do digress sometimes. As a psychologist, the part where you talk about not rushing the feelings of sadness and anger, disappointment and rage, don't rush it. Don't embrace these feelings, because we have to work through, as we say, process in psychology. And you suggest we write down the ways that we're denying feelings, that we're discounting, because, and these feelings, of course, as we discussed earlier, are all connected to the messages we received, you know, growing up. And then, you know, those messages, neural patterns continue to wire together and fire together and grow. And then we believe these things that we were sort of told, whatever, you know, our religious upbringing from that, whatever our religious upbringing was. And we buy into this stuff. Like you said, you're not enough of enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough. You're not. And it's reinforced by heartbreak, as you mentioned, by things that you've experienced, we've all experienced. And so why is it so important to not avoid these feelings? What's the payoff that we keep hanging on to these things?
You know? Well, I think the absolute answer is that we deny our humanity when we do that. We're not robotic. We're not robotic. And whether you're religious, an atheist, which to me, I always, atheists say, I'm sorry, I'm an atheist. And I go, are you kidding? You talk more about God than people say they believe in God. So keep on going. You know, you're great at marketing. We love people like you. But and usually when people say that they are atheists, they're not saying they don't believe in God. They're saying, I don't believe what we're being told today. And that's a very different conversation.
Right.
But if we believe that something created us, and I always say, until you're able to make your body breathe and until you're able to make your heart pump,
there's
something that's greater than you are that is making all that happen. So if we really believe that there's a higher power and we were created, then, and we believe that that is in its own realm as it's destined to be, then how would we deny half of ourselves? It's not intelligent. Because if the creator thought, oh, let me just create the light, it's more fun in the sun, and let's don't have darkness, then I won't create darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light. And so when we have feelings of depression and sadness and loss, it's not the feeling.
Right.
It's the denial of the feeling that makes it become explosive. Anger is great. It has a tremendous gift and value. But if we go, oh, I can't be negative and oh, kumbaya, and let me sing the peace song and I can't be mad.
Right.
And we deny it, then it comes out on the freeway. It comes out in rage. It comes out, we take it out on our children or our pets, or it's pathetic because it's the ownership of it. My mother died 14 months ago.
Oh,
and and I obviously was having a new experience I've never walked through. And I posted to a number of my friends that my mother had died. And I said, and please do not give me your metaphysical assessment of how how I ought to feel, because I am not going to cheat my mom of any emotion I have. And when we do this, again, we have more light. We have more energy. We have more vibrancy.
But
if we don't own our feelings own us.
Is that true?
You know?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I hear you. And even the classical psychoanalysts, you know, psychiatrists, you know, Freud and Jung, and they were all about, a lot of it's hooey. I think, you know, I never had penis envy, actually, that Freud said. But,
Yeah, that's a different talk for a different day.
That's a whole other show. But anyway, I just thought I'd just throw that out there. But I think that, no, they were right in that. We do have to, you know, get in touch with and not shove those things down, because we project our anger and our sadness and all that stuff onto others. And we'll talk about relationships in just a bit. But I think, no, you're right on. And you have wonderful ways, by the way, in your book, When Did You Die? That, folks, it's almost like a workbook, too. I mean, you have these questions to ponder at the end of each chapter, which I really appreciated because they're powerful. You talk about certain aspects of being alive and you know, how to stay there. And then at the end, ponder some of these questions or think about these things, which really sort of highlight what you've talked about in each chapter. So I think I really, you know, I go, whoa, that's really heavy. But you're right. We have to really sort of write down, focus on, embrace these feelings. And whatever that means, I mean, whatever that, I shoved down my best friend. I shoved down the feelings. He died in a car accident when I was 14. I was waiting to go to school with him in the morning, and I kept waiting and waiting. And why wasn't the neighbor taking us? And why wasn't, my mom said, he just died in a car accident. I went, what? Never processed it. Never until I was in my 30s. So, I mean, I, you know, had that experience, and I get it. and I'm just, you know, kind of transparent here, but I mean, I think we all do that some way because we want to function and try to focus, but shoving down all the sorrow and the anger and the pain and things like that is just bring it up. That's why we're human. We have these, you know, particular brain parts that say, bring it up, feel it, experience it, and then realize that it's all part of our journey, I guess. And I don't mean that as like shadow talk, as you talk about in your book, but it is kind of right. I mean,
right. It is.
Yeah.
It is. And what you said just now totally touched me because I was 14 and my cousin was 17 and was killed in a car crash.
Oh my goodness.
And I remember because people didn't talk about it, we shoved it under the rug.
Right.
You know, his parents looked like mannequins for the rest of their lives because they didn't deal with it. They didn't talk about it. We lived in the South. We shoved it all down. And I remember I was terrified to turn 17 because when you're a teenager, it's all about you. Hopefully,
Some people are
70, 80 and leading big programs and it's still all about them, but a healthy person works through the teenage years and then it's from the me to the we, but you know, that's a different talk for a different time. But that being said, you know, I was so terrified when I turned 17 that I was going to die because I felt the closeness of the divine too and knew my cousin wanted to be a minister. And so I had so many things. So what you said just touched me because it is something as a teenager when you lose someone very close to you. It's a life-changing moment. You know, that's for sure.
It sure is,
But one of the ways that I wanted to share for a moment about my book is that I also have an online university. And it's the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning. So it's ILLE. And a young man reached out to me in Kenya and was talking about that they are having real hard times there. And I gifted him the course of the class, When Did You Die? And he had this huge awakening for himself and his tribe. And he said, that's what's beginning to happen to us. We've given up hope. We've given up possibilities. So we have gone on to support their tribe and buy goats and chickens and, you know, all different kind of things.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying that it reaches near and far all the work that you're doing, that I'm doing, that all of you are out there doing is you have no way of the ripple effect.
Right.
You know, when you're sharing,
exactly.
When you're sharing your life story.
It's so true. Thanks for sharing that. No, that's so touching. And I'm so glad that you could help the community that way. And you've helped so many people around the world and the communities and speaking. And, you know, I just appreciate all you do. And
thank you. A lot of people helped me. Thank heavens.
Yeah. Well, do you think we attract that? What do you think about this whole law? It's not a secret. You said the secret is not really a secret, but I mean, is there really this law of attraction, that which we put out, we get back? And I know it's connected to electromagnetically and we have to feel in our hearts, you know, join the mind body as the Heart Math Institute says and put it out there.
Right.
Are we getting things back that we're feeling from the universe, do you think? Or
I think as best as I know for now, as a mystic, and we're all mystics, and if you never thought you were a mystic and you survived the pandemic, trust me, you're a mystic, because a mystic is a person that's always living in the vulnerability of the mystery. So as best as I can hold it in myself, I think there's just so many layers that they're just bigger than us. And I'm not convinced that we are to intellectualize or logically explain certain things. I think living in that question mark keeps us on our toes.
Yeah.
It keeps us evolving.
Yes.
I know certain things for sure. The children born right now are so much more evolved than
they
any
are.
People that have ever lived. The
they
downside
are.
Is if they're not surrounded by people with self-esteem and people, teachers and educators that are comfortable with themselves, they get duped and
yes,
programmed
they
and they go back in a box like generations before us. That's one thing. The other is I do believe in karma, and I feel that we've been here many, many times, and perhaps we did make an agreement to come in and you decided to be a therapist and do what you did. I don't know that we consciously pick specificities.
I
do feel we might say, I want to go back or whatever.
Sure.
And I
sure.
do think that karma, sometimes when somebody does something wrong to people, they'll go, well, I know karma will take care of them.
Right.
Well, how do you know your karma just took care of you? Because to imply that somebody hurt me today, that, oh, karma's going to get a hold of them, that's very self-righteous. That's shadow talk, because maybe I just paid a debt back to them that I've been due. Who knows? What I feel is
that we
don't choose consciously. I didn't consciously say, I want people to say they love me. I want a grandmother that says I'm her favorite granddaughter, but when she finds out I'm gay, she's going to tell me to go to hell. I wouldn't consciously choose that. I wouldn't consciously choose to be an alcoholic.
No.
But on some level, I might have chosen that I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And to me, of the people I have trained as leaders and spiritual teachers and as a speaking coach, I find it hysterical when people say, I want to be a light to the world, I want to make a difference, but I'm not ready yet because I'm having problems right now.
Right.
And I go, well, then I guess you're going to save it all for the afterlife then, because you're really not helping anyone if you never walk through your life by walking into your life and know on the other side what you're teaching works. I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it funny? We talk to people and they, you know, wonderful things start happening to them, whatever that may be. And they say, well, I must have done something right in my last life because, you know, that kind of thing. I think that
exactly.
that's really cool. But you were talking about shadow talk. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And you really kind of nailed the psychological meaning behind some of the words we say. They're really powerful and become old rags that bind us. That's you. Mm-hmm. That's your quote. I'm quoting you. Old rags that bind. So
all
can
right.
you share some of these words and the true meaning behind them? You know, I have it right here. I'm just reading and I sort of underlined them. Sorry, I marked up your book, but I was underlining, oh, that's a good one. That's a real good example. Can you share some of that stuff with us?
Yeah, and it comes from a simple story of a beggar on the outside of a gate, wanting to get in, talk to the king, and go to the king's birthday party, and he doesn't have any attire to wear, and he keeps on. He's very persistent, and he tells the gatekeeper, "I need to talk to the king." He goes in the gate. The king gives him with beautiful clothing, and he looks in the mirror and he loves it. Like, this is who I am. This is me. But then he looks down at those old rags he was wearing and he grabs them and he totes them everywhere he goes. A lot of times in evolution, we talk about spirit and I'm a teacher and I'm this and that, but it is amazing the affirmations that come out of our mouth.
Yes.
Like, this is a crazy world. It's like, please don't say that. Please don't say that.
Right.
Well, it's presented on the news.
Right.
It's different than the world you live in. And please get clear about what you say. So shadow talk is when, for example, somebody will tell you something, they're complaining, they're going on and on about it, and then they'll go, it's no big deal. And I go, well, apparently it is, because you're the one that brought it up. We don't bring up things
that aren't a big deal, exactly.
Somebody will say, I can't take one more thing. That's martyrdom.
Right.
That is the psychology of get off the cross, honey. They need the wood. That's a wounded person. I can't take one more thing. Well, what if somebody called you this afternoon and gave you $10 million? Could you take that? So we have a lot of statements that we say that in a way is a cry for self-care, a cry for getting out in nature, for remembering who we are. And you said you had a couple that you liked. Do you want to tell me what they are?
A couple of, I loved what you don't know won't hurt you.
Oh, yes, it will.
Oh, yeah.
We were programmed to say that, right?
Yeah.
But if you knew that wearing flip-flops every day would destroy your knees, you wouldn't wear them, right?
Right, exactly.
What you don't know can hurt you, right?
It's true. I know. Yes. Exactly. Well, that's a great example. And the other one is, wait. Oh, everything happens for a reason. Now, I must admit that I've said that to other people. Trying to comfort them in certain situations. And that's sort of a psychological, let's explore the rational part of, that wasn't necessarily trying to get them to spiritually feel, you know, that God is punishing them or that this happened for a reason, you know, but we've all kind of thought that, but it soothes us, but not really. I mean, it does.
Mm-mm. Not in
sometimes
the moment.
Sometimes stuff
in
happens.
Hindsight, it comes up. In hindsight,
right.
Someone can look back and go, well, that happened for a reason. But when we are in the midst of
it, if
we shut down again,
this
shadow wanting to reveal itself. When we think of like Buddha, for example, you know, and people go, oh, I love your laugh. You know, I love your death. And he would go, well, I've been through a good bit of pain. And I think that's a misunderstanding. Somebody asked me one time, how are you so joyful? And I said, because I've learned that joy is not the absence of sadness, it's the inclusion of it.
Beautiful.
And so, yes, on a higher realm, everything happens for a reason. And we're so grateful there's divine order, or a star would pop you in the head, or the moon would fall down and, you know, fall on your car. We're so grateful for divine order.
Right.
But in the midst of something, we owe ourselves the ability to walk in it and through it. Then we can always look back and go, that's why that occurred.
But
I think when we say these isms to ourselves, these bumper sticker truths, we can shut down the very thing that we need to walk on the other side of.
Beautifully said. It's so true. Mm-hmm. Getting back to your book and sort of the beginning of it, you talk about, you know, how being reborn and really embracing the real you. So how can we do that? What are some of the ways and the steps that you share in your book to become reborn to the real you?
I think it behooves us as a society to lessen the charge that we have on words in our society.
And
the secret of life is not whether we will live or die. If we're living, we are going to have a physical death. But the secret of life would be the parts of ourselves that we allow to die while we're living. And so that would be the person that had one dog when they were a teenager. The dog died, and I'll never get another one because it hurt too bad. That's cheating yourself. People that get divorced with almost 8 million people on the planet, never giving somebody else another chance. You're cheating yourself of the capacity to love through it and love on the other side of it. And so for me, when I think about being born, I think about all the time I'm being born. The one time was a birth.
Yes.
But I'm constantly being reborn with seeing things different, being made anew. not limiting myself to things I did before or right. want to do now. I'm not held back by age. I'm not held back by gender. I'm not held back by lots of things unless I hold myself back. So reborn, beautiful. Always say in certain groups, if my mother thought enough to stretch so I could be born, I ought to think enough of myself to continue stretching. Continue right. in that. So right. being born is a constant thing. Every yes. year, I like to sit down and go, what new was born with me this past year? And what new would I like to be born? It keeps us young.
Sure,
keeps us
it vibrant. Does.
Yes. The other thing is dying. And if you prune a tree, nature, there's things, old leaves come off. And so new ones can come.
Right.
Sprouts. But we have such an obsession. Oh, my gosh.
Right. You know,
that was part of COVID. And I'm not making light of
No, it's true. No, no. It's,
but
yeah.
what was shocking as a nation, it's almost like for the first time, people realize we're all going to die. We are. And so we're so terrified of dying that we don't ever truly live, so many people. And so reborn, dying, allowing, letting go for the new expansion of self. And it's very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. No. And you say that also, and you thank you so much for that because it's beautiful. I have post-its here stuck in your book. I'll try to push them down a little bit. But here it is, folks.
Oh,
ooh, when did you.
You
die? When did you die? Temple Hayes. An amazing book. And also her other books are just uplifting and lovely. 8 Steps to Stop Dying Every Day and Start Waking Up. You know, we do live in the past and then we do fear. You mm-hmm. have such an emphasis in your book on fear and how it holds us back. And and I was watching Eckhart Tolle this morning. I love, he's so cool. He's so mellow, you know, calls me that. I should watch him at night because he's so mellow. He has this voice, this voice. Uh-huh. But, you know, he was saying, just be in the now, no matter what the experience is as a human, embrace it, feel it. It's exactly what you're, you know, teaching mm-hmm. and, it's, we're not always living. I'm happy. Life's great. You know, it's, life is what it is. And we need to embrace
it's what
life.
It is.
Walk through it.
It is what it is. Yeah.
And
it's
enjoy
so
it.
True. It's
but the
so
fear
true.
That we hold on to, I mean, we're born with fear right now, what we're going through. And I don't even, like you said, I don't want to, do not speak those words, Michelle. I do not want to, you know, talk about all the strife and everything going on because we are all connected. Mm-hmm. But it's really looking at the now and getting excited about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And I think it's like, I think so many of us, I bet you are, and I know I am, I'm a rebel. If you tell me that the only way to go is left, I'm going to go, well, you know, I'm probably going to go left. You may be correct, but I'm going to check out what's on the right first
right.
before I decide. I am a rebel.
Yeah.
And I hang out with rebels and I think that's where the movie industry and a lot of things birth, right?
Well,
from that rebel energy. But I want to be an enlightened rebel. And I think this is the part that people need to realize. When you look at the world at large or your neighborhood and go, oh, so much needs to be done.
Right.
It's not a time to sit down on the recliner with the remote. It's to say, what small part can I do?
Exactly.
It doesn't excuse me. And I think we've started making the overwhelmingness an excuse to do nothing.
Yes.
And that's not true. I mean, I get so much satisfaction by just sending $150 to Kenya every now and then. And and it is life-changing for people. And you can pick one thing and do it, and it will change your life.
It does.
Right? And so there's always something that we can do. But just to get, I get so upset about hunters that just kill animals for no reason.
Me too.
To make them feel like grown. It's so disgusting to me.
It is.
It just, but I put energy into pet adoption here or writing stories about it. You know, all I'm saying is not to be impressive, but just to say, there's things we can do instead of doing nothing and just being mad. right?
It's so true, Temple. It really is giving and loving. And it all starts here, right? Yeah. Here. It all starts here. And
it does.
You know, and it's not, well, so we'll feel good. We'll put it. No, it just naturally makes us feel wonderful inside. Right. And, you know, and thank you. It's just about that time we wrap up already. I can't believe how fast it's gone today.
So fast.
Well, what's the best way people can find out more about you and get all your amazing books, including the one we've been talking about today?
My name, Temple Hayes. Yes. You can look me up on the website, templehayes.com.
Right. And it's H-A-Y-E-S, folks. Temple, T-E-M-P-L-E, Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S. Check her out. Thank you for all you do. You've been such a great guest today. Really
thank
inspiring.
Thank you for having me. So good being with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Take care and bless you for all you do.
And blessings to all of you.
Thanks, Temple. All right, everybody, as I always say, do take care of yourself first, please, and then you'll be great for others in the world, and like it starts from here. All right, thanks for joining me on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.